Welcome to the Guy Who Knows a Guy podcast. I'm your host, Michael Whitehouse. Today we'll be speaking with Deborah Murin of Murin Marketing. Deborah is a marketing strategist, and her job is to deploy her considerable experience to help her clients make the right choices. Like a general or a quarterback, she coordinates all the various marketing tactics a client uses to create a cohesive strategy and build a brand response. Let's meet Deborah Murin. So I'm here today with Deborah Murin. She's a marketing strategist and the owner of Murin Marketing. How are you doing today, Deborah?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I have spent my career in marketing and focused first on the corporate, the industry. I was head of marketing for a number of different companies and saw an opportunity to leave corporate and take all of the skills and years of experience and provide marketing support to small and mid-sized companies that may not have a designated marketing department or a marketing director. And I have found that most companies really need to create a marketing strategy in order to achieve a stronger marketing presence, which is ultimately the brand, the recognition of the brand, their company, or if they are specialists, their expertise. And by coupling the marketing strategy and branding, I'm able to customize marketing support, all of the marketing tools to help generate incremental sales profitably, as well as resulting in increased market presence for the client.
Great. And when we were talking before, we're talking about how you're different from, say, a social media specialist or a videographer or some other specific marketing technician, shall we say, but you kind of handle the big picture. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. I usually like to use the comparison of a quarterback who has the strategy and the game plan and pulls together the various teammates. Marketing strategists are the hub of the wheel. And if you think about all the different spokes, the different specialties, whether it be graphic designer, web developer, videographer, photographer, printer, these are social media marketing. All of these specialists help to implement the strategies and achieve the goals. And when I talk about where my company provides a customized set of marketing tools based on the client's budget and on the goals that I will help them develop and the areas we want to identify in terms of growing the business, whether it's geographically or diversifying products or services, we would put together a marketing budget and a game plan that would select the right marketing tools that would be appropriate for that particular company, its size, the scope, and the budget that they have. And that's all really tied into a percentage of total revenues. So I try to work closely with owners and senior executives, whether it be the president or the senior vice president of marketing and sales, to provide that additional support where I could get into the heart of the company, the personality, the strength of its products and or services, and put together the strategies that will help them implement all of their sales and marketing goals. Too frequently, companies will select a tie or a scarf. Now, use the tie before they buy the suit or the scarf before they buy the dress. Mm-hmm. And that could be somewhat frustrating for a small business owner who hasn't put together the goals, the objectives, you know, that strategy. And so they might select a particular marketing specialty. Maybe it's digital, maybe it's an ad campaign. And what oftentimes happens, even with a website, they will invest and go forth in a direction and find, you know, a year or two later that they're knocking their heads against the wall saying would have, could have, should have, that they created almost like a one-hit wonder and didn't put together plans so that the plans aligning with all of their goals. And that's really what my expertise is, that I'm very intuitive and I'm able to work closely and get immediately to the heart of what they're hoping to achieve. Sometimes they're not even sure they can articulate it, and I will help unlock their potential and help them tell that story, which all again ties back into the brand.
Yeah. And that sounds hugely important, because I'll, you know, in my work as a magazine publisher, I'll sometimes speak to businesses who will say something like, well, we just invested in SEO, so we're not doing anything else. And it's almost like they're saying, we already bought a marketing and we don't need another marketing. Like they don't understand that marketing is a plan, a strategy, not just we're on Facebook, so we're all set, or we're in a magazine, so we're all set. It's, you need a real strategy and a big picture approach to build a brand, not just a piece of marketing.
Oftentimes companies are sales driven. They need to balance between the sales plans and objectives. They need to maybe shift that alignment and make it more of a marketing driven percentage to their total time management. Too frequently, they will get excited by a presentation and not realize, because, and it's to no fault to the specialists, but they don't, an ad agency or a digital marketing or a social media specialist may not know much more outside of their sphere or their area of expertise. And that isn't in any way a criticism. It's just that a marketing strategist sees the bigger picture. And, you know, as a marketing strategist, I'll combine and do competitive market analyses. I'll do pricing analyses, even if it's a service-related business. I'll get into the heart of where that company is positioned in the marketplace. What differentiates them? Why should a customer select that particular company's services or products? And I don't necessarily think that the different specialists, you know, whether it be a photographer, a videographer, or a social media marketing expert, they're not going to see that big picture. They're going to look at the project and hope that it is an ongoing project, but they can't necessarily see that bigger picture. The other thing that I think is a myth is marketing's rather nebulous. It's very difficult sometimes to measure a marketing strategy, because the strategy is a game plan. So if you think about football, you're putting together the plan, to, you know, all those plays to eventually achieve that touchdown. But until you get the touchdown, you're not scoring points. There are certain marketing specialties, like a social media campaign, that, you know, pay for click, you're able to immediately be able to measure the success. But depending on how the specialist is going to guide that particular project, it may be very narrow in scope because the budget is very tight. So it doesn't necessarily mean that they are going to measure the success of that campaign if they don't really have a plan so that they can map out that social media calendar, or if they're going to go into an ad campaign with a magazine, there's usually it's tied to an editorial calendar, and you get a benefit if you make an investment in buying into an ad campaign. If you're doing a series, if like with the case of your magazine, you had explained to me that it might be more advantageous if you commit to a year or 2 years versus, you know, one ad. So there's, it really, I think that the marketing strategist is going to have a very keen understanding of the variables and to map out the plan that will help complement the goals in, you know, creating that increased sales and increased exposure. And you want to do it profitably because you could run lots of ads and you could generate sales, but if it's not done profitably, then you're back to square one again.
Yep. And what you're saying with the football analogy, reminds me of something. They've actually done mathematical analysis on going for it on the fourth down instead of punting. And what they've mathematically determined is coaches should generally go for it in the fourth down. The problem is that in each individual case, there's a risk. And if they don't convert, if they don't get to a first down, then people look at the coach and say, what were you thinking? It didn't pay off. But from the big picture, if a team did that all the time, they would do better than a team that doesn't. But it's hard to kind of pull back to that big picture. And that sounds like really what you do as a strategist is you can pull back because you look at a specific ad and you're like, what's the ROI on this ad, this one particular ad, which is like saying, what's the ROI on my last 10 pushups? You need to really look at the big picture.
Yes, the key is that when as a marketing strategist, we're combining everything from business strategy and coaching and being a strong listening ear, being that alter ego for the CEO or the owner of the company. What a strategist is going to do if they're engaged in a project or a series of projects or even a retainer, that during those early weeks, you're doing a lot of research and analysis. And I started my career in journalism. I was a reporter and then I became an editor. So my writing skills are very strong. That's an additional benefit that when you're hiring me, you get the content, the writing content, and it's an additional service that I'm able to provide as part of that umbrella of services. But most important, I'm pulling together market research within that field, that industry that the company is in, so that we get a clear picture through my analysis or analyses of the competition, the market, how it's broken up into various segments, whether it's done through services or products or whether it's done through pricing, geographic areas. Also talking to the owner, the president, to determine what is his vision, where does he want to take it, is he in the early part of the company's his career as well as the company's life, where there's the trajectories on a growth, so that you're looking at growing products or services, or perhaps if he's looking to or she's looking to acquire another company that would be in alignment with a service. Perhaps the company is in the mid part of its lifespan or towards the end, where there were a lot of situations where the owner or the senior executive were saying, would have, could have, should have, Debbie, I wish I met you 3 years ago. I wish I hadn't. I wish I hadn't worked with that company for a PR campaign or that web developer, because unfortunately they might have been swayed to work with somebody who in good faith, you know, that other company might have been genuine in its approach and its services, but the quality wasn't there or that they didn't execute what they had promised. So oftentimes I'm the troubleshooter where I've come into a relationship with a client where they've had some false starts or some experiences where they wish they had never worked with those companies or that they wish they had held off. Perhaps they'd work with that company, but had put together a game plan instead. sometimes I'll say to a company, what's your budget? They'll say, well, what's your budget? And I'll laugh because I'm not trying to put them on the spot. I'm very genuine in terms of my services and my fees, but I need to know what kind of budget, what are your annual sales? Then we could even go further to determine what the marketing budget should be and then figure what tools we could implement. And sometimes it's just putting together the strategy, maybe a mission statement and a marketing plan and saying, hold off doing anything. There are what I call organic things that we could do. Like I might be able to write blogs or be able to revamp their or even get launch their LinkedIn and provide some opportunities where they could increase their market presence, but do so where there's not a very large outlay of investment, of cost. Or maybe it's best that we evaluate that we, I've been in situations where I'll give you an example. I was contacted by a company to do a PR campaign. And in my first conversation with the owner, he stopped me after I shared with him my background and my experiences. And he said, wow, you know what? Let's put the PR campaign on hold. I'm in the process of redoing my website. I think you could spearhead that project. What happened next, and I agreed to do that, I was thrilled. I even had said, if you already have a company you're working with, I'm happy to work alongside. I'm a good team player. But what happened over the next few weeks as I started to do research on his marketplace and his products, I realized that, and looking at his old website, I said, with your permission, I'd like to change your name. I think it's your current name is too narrow in scope. I'd like to talk to you about diversifying your channels of distribution. I think you're too narrow in scope. And so what happened was that innocently, it just happened where the project went from being a PR project, which got shelved, to a website launch and a redesign, to a branding project, because I said to the client, if you're going to invest in a new website, we really have to look at your name, the company name, and we have to look at your logo and make sure that we're all of the branding is going to be aligning so that it could strengthen your market presence and recognition as an expert in your field. And he was excited and understood, and you could see it was a slow. It wasn't like that first meeting. I said, by the way, I've just done a quick assessment and I think you have to look at 5 or 10 different projects. I was willing and always enjoy working on one project, but before we implement that project, before I get hired to do it, I want to make sure that if there's another couple of projects that might work nicely alongside, there may be cost efficiencies if doing them all at the same time. Or we prioritize what should come first if budgets are a little tighter. But that has saved my clients a lot of money, a lot of heartache. And in the end, the deliverables are a strong brand name and increased recognition and connections with a broader audience, broader customer base. So.
It sounds like one of the benefits you bring is you have somebody, a small company hires their own marketing person. That marketing person is going to learn from their mistakes like anyone else does. But it's always better to have someone learn from someone else's mistakes or do their learning on someone else's dime. And so you've already been there and done that and made the mistakes and learned from them. And so you don't have a learning curve that if someone were to bring say, an in-house marketing person.
Well, I've got more than 25 years of corporate marketing experience.
Yep. And been there, done that.
Thing, too, Michael, it's interesting you say that, and I'm going to just beg to differ a little bit. I find that being the kind of worker that I am, the kind of team player, I in all the years in either corporate or in running my own business, I can't afford to make mistakes. I have to hit a bullseye. Okay. And that is how I differentiate myself from other marketing specialists or other marketing consultants, because I don't have that luxury. Now, how can I say that, and how can I achieve that? It's because of years of working in marketing, working for large companies, companies that were, you know, a quarter of a billion,
yeah,
or a half a billion in sales. I worked for very large companies, some leaders in their market and some that were wannabes, where we executed with my skills and strategy. I was instrumental in turning companies into more profitable ventures and into leaders in the market. I look at a few examples, you know, when I look back on my career, and in each case, the companies during the tenure that I was there achieved their goals. I exceeded sales, I did it profitably. And so when I said I wish to beg to differ with you, I didn't really have any personal mistakes, because in my position, I didn't have that luxury. If I made a mistake, it might have cost me a job.
Wow.
Or cost me a bonus. And so my strength and what I bring to my clients are deliverables. I'm a troubleshooter. I get right to the heart. I can easily assess and identify what the immediate opportunities, goals are. If there are problems that a company is facing, I can immediately get to that and suggest solutions. So I'm a problem solver. Mm-hmm. And my work ethic, I am such a type A that I work hard at putting my clients first. And many of us say that we put our clients first, but I'm able to really prioritize and ensure that whatever deliverables we set out to achieve, that they get done. And usually when you're dealing in marketing and branding, it's not just the visuals, the graphics, but it's translating to increased sales, increased customers, making sure that we take advantage of opportunities to bolster the existing customers, customers that may be forgotten, you know, for whatever reason. You know, when a company is sales driven, they may focus on sales of the moment and forget about some of their tried and trues, looking for new business. But I combine all of that strategy in order to achieve the sales and doing so profitably, but equally important, customer service and making sure that there's a strong customer base helps to also achieve those market goals, sales goals.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like, you know, you're coming in with this knowledge, and you're not, I guess my point is really, you don't need to learn on the job. You know, you're ready to go and you're ready to win. And that can be very valuable for a small business who's like, I don't know what the next step is. I don't know what to do. Deborah, come in and win this for me.
Well, and the other thing too is that I customize each of my marketing projects or marketing plans, the customized plans for the client. So for example, if a company is very small and maybe we look at LinkedIn or we look at Facebook or we might look at a magazine ad campaign, if they're not able to do all of those. I first look at what I call the triple play. You know, it's the logo, the business card, the website. And then within that, how can I help make all of those very strong visual and written, particularly on the website? How do we balance between the visuals and make that website even more interactive? I love to pull in video. I love to do blogs, write articles. I love to integrate the various marketing components, whether it's ensuring that there's a strong Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn market presence. But sometimes companies are really, really small, and maybe there's a way to just help them with a newsletter where I design a newsletter. The graphics are beautiful. They could be sent out through an email or through U.S. Postal Service. Maybe it's a company might be involved in a like home shows or various event, where it's event driven, and we would look at ways to make sure that there was a market presence through maybe giveaways, fact sheets, product sheets, sales sheets. In addition, giveaways are very strong to help with branding. So maybe a company may want to do handing out something that ties with their company where it's not cannibalizing their profit or their sales, but that it's something that is a take with that reminds customers. And I'm able to do that. Maybe it's just thank you for closed business, designing note cards, which I do for my clients. I can work with my graphic designer. We can come up with something that helps make a difference, sets them apart. Maybe it's gift baskets. I do custom gift baskets. So maybe it's it could be a landscaper that wants to, or some a home type company that wants to give holiday gifts to its customers as a thank you for closed business for the year. So it's really, it's being, for me, what separates me from others in the market is being very attentive, responsive, intuitive. Having been a reporter, I ask the right questions so I can do quick and easy assessments and get right to the heart of what the company might need. And it doesn't matter whether it's a small company or a large company. It doesn't matter whether it's products or services, because you're really helping companies increase their brand recognition. And in many ways, I'm treating the company as a product itself. I'm helping put together a marketing plan that is going to help drive their sales profitably and increase their presence. So it could be a very teeny project or it could be a very large one. And I don't weigh one client's importance versus another. It could be a very small project and something I can grow with them. I don't want to be a one-hit wonder. I want to be an active part of a company's growth and its history. And we can define that role depending on the company's budget and their interest in growing their own business.
Great. So I've definitely learned a lot in this call, and I imagine our listeners have as well. We're coming to the end of our time. Do you have any final comments you'd like to share with the listeners before we go?
Well, I would welcome any company to contact me if they want to have a complimentary consultation and do a quick assessment. If they need me as a sounding board and sort of as a guiding light, I'm happy to provide that. They can reach me at my cell number, which I'll give you, is 203-253-1462. Or they could contact me at Deborah, D-E-B-R-A, at Miron, M-I-R-O-N, marketing.com. And they could also go on my website and contact me there, mironmarketing.com. It would be a pleasure to just talk to any company that's really looking to get a stronger foothold in their marketplace and to help them increase their sales and their market presence, and do so in a thoughtful way where we could put together a game plan, a budget. And there is no project too small or too big that I can't tackle. And I have a great team of specialists that could help me huddle and put the strategies in place and get the touchdowns.
Great. And they would definitely be wise to get your advice. And you're based in Fairfield County, but is there a limit geographically on who you can help?
No, not at all, because with the advent of Zoom and Skype, so much business can be done remotely, on the phone, over the Zoom calls or through emails. It's always a pleasure to be working alongside. And I oftentimes, when I'm working on retainer for a company, I'll go to their offices. But there's really no geographic area that I can't help. There was one company that inquired. I was referred to somebody who was living in Malaysia. She was an American and a designer and was developing products and was looking to get some marketing strategies and a new website in place and selling tools. And the biggest challenge was just that her mornings, we were sleeping in America and vice versa. So, but there's really no project, no geographic area that's too small. And it would be a pleasure to meet anyone where I could help make a difference.
All right. Well, fantastic. Well, it's been great to have you on the show. Thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And I look forward to talking to you again. And I welcome your listeners to reach out to me. I would love to connect. Thank you again.
Thank you. It was great to speak with Deborah because she really knows her stuff. When I speak to small businesses, they often mistake strategy for tactics. Strategy is the big picture, the overall aim of the marketing process, building brand, generating leads, growing business. Tactics are the specific methods a business deploys. Social media, community publications, radio, TV, traditional print, direct mail. A business owner will sometimes say they're already doing marketing, by which they mean they're deploying a tactic. We're already doing marketing, we're doing SEO. We're already doing marketing, we're doing Facebook. That's like saying, I'm already doing exercise, I do squats. It's all how it goes together that matters, and that's what Deborah does that's so important. A vital part of the big picture is building brand. Many business owners focus too much on direct response. Tools like direct mail, coupons, social media ads promoting specials to drive traffic. But without building brand, a business can never sustainably grow. All successful companies work to build their brand. But it can be expensive to brand on a large scale. That's why tens of thousands of businesses work with Best Version Media, the company for which I'm a publisher. Our unique way of engaging homeowners in targeted, affluent, influential communities allows businesses to build powerful brand awareness within their small business budget. We have over 900 publications across the United States and Canada, including quite a few in Fairfield County, where Deborah's based. If you'd like to learn more about how we can help you build your brand like the big guys, email me at michael@guywhoknowsaguy.com. The Guy Who Knows a Guy podcast is produced and hosted by me, Michael Whitehouse. Our theme song is composed by Patrick Howard of Four Unicorns Design. That nifty sound effect is from Benjamin Harvey Design by way of freesound.org. Special thanks to Pat Helmers of Habanero Media for all the great advice he gave me on relaunching the show. Find me on the web at www.guywhoknowsaguy.com. Please subscribe to this podcast and leave a review because that helps so much. You can also follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/theguywhoknowsaguy. Please share links to the show with friends you think would like it. This is Michael Whitehouse, the guy who knows a guy, reminding you that it's not what you know, it's who you know, and how much you're willing to help them. JV Connect is coming up quick, December 12th and 13th. If you are looking for a networking event where you can meet people who aren't looking to just pitch you or take, but actually want to collaborate, build strategic partnerships, joint ventures, maybe even find some mentors, some coaches, people to support you, accountability partners, who knows? If you're looking for good people in an environment that's not stressful, but is set up to give you a lot of great connections in an efficient amount of time, check out JV Connect, jv-connect.com. That's jv-connect.com, December 12th and 13th, 2023. We'll see you there.